Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you everybody. 844-322-2742 is the number if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss with you. We'd like to hear from you right now. Again, 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's a special day for many believers. I think it's Billy Graham's 99th birthday.
I saw that.
A lot of people are wishing him happy birthday today on social media.
He certainly has
had an incredible impact in our country and really around the world. And we admire him because he stood firm in delivering the good news about Jesus. Regardless of what's been happening in the world, what's been going on, he always has brought the gospel as the answer, as the solution to the problems of individuals, to the problems of society. And so our well wishes to Reverend Billy Graham on this special day in their family's life. Also, yesterday I was in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Marietta, Georgia, actually, over the weekend. My stepdad, Ellis Scarborough, passed away Sunday evening, and I was there to be with my mom, and my sisters were there, and Ellis's children were there, and it was one of those sweet moments to see just a horrible thing called death through the lens of the good news of Jesus Christ. Ellis knew the Lord. He had had a wonderful conversation with his pastor about a week prior, and mom just lifted such a weight off of her shoulders. She wanted to know for sure, and in that conversation, you know, Ellis was able to tell the pastor that he knew Christ and was ready to go and knew exactly where he was going.
What a blessing that is.
Yes, indeed. And you know, that's what I was thinking. It's, you know, we see things through different perspectives. I mean, death comes to all families alike. It doesn't matter what your heritage is, what your belief system is. Death is for, everyone goes through it. Everyone goes through that experience, the death of a loved one. Well, how do you look at that? How do you grieve through that? Well, there's different viewpoints, there's different philosophies, different perspectives, and it's just wonderful to be able to put the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ over that horrific event, and to be able to see that for God, it's not a horrific event. God has already been victorious over death, and that we can look at it with great hope, with a sense of rejoicing. That when somebody's body dies, they're immediately absent from that body and present with the Lord. Yeah. And that's what we were able to witness this past Sunday night with my stepdad, Ellis. My special condolences to Linda, to Wayne, and to Clint, his three children. And, you know, it was sad for them to see their dad pass away. They had seen their mom pass away a number of years prior. My dad passed away a number of years, and mom and Ellis were in the same circle of friends, and they just ended up being together on a lot of social events. And so they just decided to date and ended up getting married, and it was a wonderful second marriage for both of them.
Sure.
They really experienced a lot of fun together, a lot of joy. They loved country music, loved listening to Patsy Cline. They loved taking cruises. They loved hanging out with the family and going out to dinner and all of those sort of things. So they had just a special time together in this second marriage. And I just wanted to let our listeners know that that's where I was. And you know, we sometimes don't really share a lot of personal things on the broadcast.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share that. And I want you guys to be praying for my mom and, you know, as she adjusts to a new normal in her everyday life, and for his kids and you know, not having mom or dad around
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
So if you could do that, I would just greatly appreciate it.
Well, I, you know, there's nothing like knowing that a saint of God is going home and that you know exactly where they're going when they breathe their last. And so I know that was true of Ellis, and I know it was true of your dad as well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Well, Bob, good to have you back in the studio. Again, friends, we'd love to have you be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number to call if you're in Canada or the U.S. That's the number, 844-322-2742. And, friends, we have this great resource for you as you make your Thanksgiving gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's our two CD series by Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. It's called Hard Passages. Now, in this series, you'll hear Jesus-focused, life-giving answers to some of the hardest passages in the Bible. Never again will you need to read those hard-to-understand, fear-evoking passages with concern and confusion. You'll be able to rest in the truth that your salvation is secure, your forgiveness is complete, and your hope is fully anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of this two CD series, Hard Passages. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Well, again, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody.
Well, yes, and yes, indeed. We're going to go to our phone lines in just a second. This particular month, we are talking about the gospel and social justice, so to speak, you know, the big issues that are out there in the world today. And the list just gets longer and longer as we speak. But I want to ask you to write to me, Bob, at basicgospel.net. What is a social issue that you're most concerned with? It could be, you know, racism or prejudice that we see and the tensions between different people. It could be the abortion issue. It could be sex trafficking. It could be just any number of things. What's the one issue that you're most concerned with? And would you write to me and let me know that? And we want to address those as we move through this month and talk about how the gospel speaks into all of those things. We don't have to have a many-answered approach to mm-hmm. the ills of this world. I think there's just one answer.
One answer.
And but how does that one answer apply in this particular issue and that particular issue? You know, what are the things that the gospel brings to the surface or brings front and center for us to latch to that we can take over into these various issues that we're all saddled with in this world in which we live today. So write to me at bob@basicgospel.net. Well, let's go to our phone lines right now, and let's start with Josh in Willows, California. Hi, Josh.
Hey, brothers. How are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today?
Well, since we're talking about hard scriptures this month, principalities and powers, it's mentioned more negative in the Bible than positive, but in Ephesians 10, it's mentioned positive of principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That's from the King James Version. And then that sounds like good principalities and powers. And then sorry for the shaky voice, always nervous.
Well, just thousands are listening to you, so no problem.
Yeah. And then so I'll make it quick. There's another one in Colossians, but Ephesians that we're familiar with, 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And Jesus made a show of them openly in Colossians 2:15. But I'm just wondering, I kind of think I know what it is, but it is hard when there's a positive principalities and power. It's only mentioned in the New Testament 6 times, and the Strong's Concordance is the same number, the same Greek word. So do you have any take on that?
Well, the word principalities, you know, like in the ESV, that's translated in chapter, I just lost it. Goodness gracious! It's translated as rulers and authorities. We can look at it in terms of state ruled provinces or those sort of things. So when Jesus came into the world, the Roman Empire was in control. And so there was this clash of two kingdoms, the kingdom that Jesus was bringing into this world and the kingdom that was established on the earth at that time. That's the Roman Empire. And there was this deal where all the Roman citizens had to give their allegiance to Caesar as Lord. And they would say that, Caesar is Lord. And into that, Jesus came. And he brought the truth that he is Lord. And so you're gonna have to decide. And I think when it talks about principalities and authorities and those sort of things, it's talking about that the gospel is setting forth the truth that Jesus is in charge, that it's his kingdom, that it's his rule that's going to trump every other rule. And for those principalities and kingdoms and rulers that are looking for truth or looking for the good, that's a positive statement. For those who oppose, like the Roman Empire did, when Caesar was not about to give up his rightful throne and his position within that Roman Empire, that was not good news. And so that message that Jesus is Lord was very offensive, and they took umbrage at that and tried to eliminate that from their society. So I think that's just what this is talking about. I think Satan certainly has an agenda, and a lot of that agenda is carried out through the principalities of this world. We see like a communistic philosophy. That's a philosophy that's basically oppressing people. And, well, that's not of God. God came to set us free. So that philosophy that is carried out in rulers and authorities type of thing stands opposed to the good news of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you, Josh?
That totally clears it up on all the places in the New Testament for me and the Old Testament. And before I get off the line, I just wanted to let Richard, if you're ever coming through Willows again, look me up somehow, and I will make sure you get a good meal on me. And Bob, I'm praying for your family, and thanks for clearing that question up, guys. It's crystal clear now to me. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for your call, and thanks for the prayers. I sure appreciate that, and we will look you up if we get to Willows.
Yeah.
A good meal on you sounds really good.
Yeah, Bob and I will be there with Richard. So.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Josh. Friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, you could do that right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Bob had a question from Jennifer, and she says, on a recent broadcast, you said you felt God placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden as a protection for Adam and Eve. If I understood you correctly, she says, it had something to do with Satan's targeting of humans because they are God's special creation. I would like to understand this better because it seems like it could be the missing piece for me in terms of my understanding of why God put it there. She goes on to say, I have thought a lot about it, especially since I'm in a study of Romans, but haven't been able to fully grasp what you're saying. Can you help me close the loop? That's from Jennifer.
Well, Jennifer, thanks for that question, and I hope the answer today can bring some clarification to you. I think we have to start with the truth that God is love. And so that's his essence, that's his nature. And so when he acts on behalf of man, it's his love for mankind that is compelling that action. So if he placed a tree in the garden, it was out of his love for mankind. When I grew up and I heard different sermons on Genesis and why that tree was there, it was always spoken of in terms of a test. You know, I'm going to test man. I'm going to see if they're going to be obedient to me. If they pass the test, then they're rewarded. If they fail their test, then off they go. And most people say, and they failed the test and have doomed all of mankind. And that just never made sense to me that God would test man like that. We do know that our enemy was already in existence, that pride had already filled his heart, that he had already been cast out of the heavenlies, and that his target was mankind. And so I think out of love for his creation in Adam and Eve, he wanted to protect them from the snares of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And so he said, don't eat of that.
Right.
Now, the tree represented the fact that good and evil already existed. It didn't come into existence mm-hmm. at that tree.
Great
it
point.
Was already in existence.
Yeah.
And so God knew that that could be a snare for mankind. And so he wanted to protect them, and he said, don't eat of that. Mm-hmm. And on the day that you do, you will surely die.
Right.
So the consequences were dire. So I don't think it was there as just a test of man. I'm going to see if you really love me. Mm-hmm. And then you don't love me, and so I'm going to have to do something else. I don't think that's how God worked. I think he put it there out of his love for us. And I think when we see it in that light, it takes on a different feel.
Yeah.
That whole story takes on a different feel. Like I said, good and evil already existed.
Yeah.
Satan embodied that, and he wanted to trap, and his purpose was not to impart the knowledge of good and evil to Adam and Eve. His purpose was to destroy God's creation.
Right.
Why? Because they were created in the image of God, and Satan didn't want that. He wanted everything to reflect him out there in the world. That's what Satan wanted. And so God loved us, and I think he protected us in that. His purpose was to protect us. And that foreshadowed what would happen to us in Christ.
Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer, for your question. A very thought-provoking question, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners, Bob. And if you have a question, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call anytime, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have a question from Ryan on Facebook today, and he had been listening to a YouTube video, and somebody felt helpless with pornography. And certainly pornography is one of those social ills out there, and we would love to eradicate that. How do we go about eradicating it, just where that stuff never exists, so that people don't get trapped by it? That would be a wonderful thing that would happen. But what we know is pornography is out there. The internet has, opened doors for it to flood into people's homes. You only could get pornography years ago if you went to sleazy stores or sleazy bars or those sort of things. But now it can come right into your home or come to wherever you are through the internet. So the, people addicted to pornography, people trapped by that, is on the rise. And we see it in the world. We see it in the church. It's just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're immune to it. Just because there's a church with people in it, you're never going to think that all of those people are pure and would never have any desire to look at pornography. But when you examine the statistics, when you look at what's happening out there in the church, you see that there are many Christian men trapped by pornography. So how do you get out of it? And really, that's what Ryan's question is. But he had listened to this YouTube video, and basically the advice was to memorize the book of Hebrews. And in memorizing the book of Hebrews, come to a place of repentance if you still could. So, boy, that's not really a message of hope.
No.
That's just a message of doom. That just takes all hope out of the equation. So how does a person go free from pornography? If you're trapped by pornography, how can you escape its grip? Well, that's a question that many people are asking. Folks pray about it. Lord, please help me today. And they pray and they pray and they pray. And so all day long they're thinking, Lord, free me from pornography. So that word pornography is in their minds. And then they think, well, what pornography? Well, that stuff I looked at yesterday and the stuff I looked at the day before, free me from looking at it again. And so then you bring up those images in your mind. And pretty soon you just feel this impulse that is almost unstoppable to go and look at it again. And then you say, prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. Well, what you're doing is focusing on cleaning up the flesh, trying to rid the flesh of a fleshly desire. Well, that's never going to happen. If you want to be free from pornography, you have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's how this works. So how do you become free from pornography's grip? You learn to walk in the Spirit. So instead of focusing on the pornography, getting free from pornography, you focus on Jesus Christ. And you focus on what Christ is doing inside of you. So here's what happens. So if you're looking at pornography, then you have an attitude toward women that does not line up with God's view of women. Or you may have an attitude of men that doesn't line up with God's attitude toward men. Well, as you start to learn to walk in the Spirit, then your mind starts to be transformed and you begin to see people through God's eyes, through God's heart. And as you start to see people through God's heart, through God's eyes, then that starts to change your attitude toward them.
Yeah.
And when your attitude toward them changes, then your actions change. So if you are looking at pornographic material, you're looking at women as simply objects that are there to help gratify the desires of your flesh. Did God create them as objects? Absolutely not. He bled and died so that they could have life everlasting. He has lifted them up, and he has said to us as men in marriage relationships to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's how elevated women are as far as God is concerned. So as we learn to walk in the Spirit, then we will learn how to see people from God's vantage point. And that will be the key that unlocks those chains that were binding us.
Right.
So walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the good news of the gospel. So don't focus on the sin. Focus on Jesus, and he will set you free.
We used to say before that stuff could be projected into your home that if you had a problem with it, don't drive by it on the way home. Find another way. Well, I had a problem, and it was with ice cream from Jason's Deli. Now, that's not a commercial for Jason's Deli. It's just they
have you may
the
still have that problem. I don't know.
I may still have it, but, you know, I didn't have much of a problem as long as they were across the freeway. But what happened? They moved right next door to us.
That's right.
Right across the street. Oh, well. Hey, friends, how many times have you been happily reading along in your personal Bible study time and suddenly come across a verse that just seems totally frightening or at best causes you to wonder why this passage is in the New Covenant at all? What does it actually mean? Well, during this Thanksgiving month of November, we have a great resource for Basic Gospel listeners. It's a 2-CD series called Hard Passages, including 20 of the most frequently misunderstood passages in Scripture. Hard Passages is yours with your November gift to Basic Gospel, and you'll find the donate link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Make your gift, and we'll send you a copy of Hard Passages. Again, it's a 2-CD series by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app and by PayPal if you're outside the U.S. or Canada. A reminder, too, that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. We hope you'll take advantage of this new venue that God has opened up to disseminate the gospel and get the truth out there to you. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.